So good to be with you, beloved. What a meeting we had this morning. When you talk about the love of God, you can't get any higher than that. God's love. He loved us. That's why we are here. Love uncaused. Love undeserved. Love unmerited. Brother said we're going to study in Ephesians, but I'm not going to do that in this session. You're going to do that at the 11 o'clock session. He told me I can speak on anything I want at this session, so I will. We're going to read from John's Gospel in chapter 11. I'm not going to bring you anything new today. I'm just going to stir up your pure minds by putting you in remembrance. That's what Peter said. Putting you in remembrance. John 11, verse 1 says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment, wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, 'Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick.' And Jesus heard that, he said, 'This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, and that the Son of God might be glorified by it.'" Now, this is important. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Chapter 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus is one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who should betray him, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and he had the bag and poured what was put in it. Then said Jesus, "Let her alone. For the day of my burial has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always." Many people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Bethany was one of the favorite stops of our blessed Redeemer when he was here on earth. He had friends there. He loved those siblings. We're going to call this study this morning, "The Siblings of Bethany," or "The Siblings That Jesus Loved." For he loved Martha and her sister Mary and Lazarus. And when Lazarus took sick, The sisters then sent to Jesus and said, "Our brother is sick, your friend is sick." No, they said to him, "He whom thou lovest is sick." He really loved Lazarus. And when he was at the grave of Lazarus, when Mary was there weeping, Jesus wept. And those around him said, "Behold how he loved him." So there was no question about the love of the Lord Jesus to this man. But I'm going to look this morning, beloved, at the activities of Christians, the people that Jesus loved. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. That's what we have in chapter 12. We have, beginning with Martha, we have service. Then when we go to Lazarus, we have communion, fellowship. When it comes to Mary, we have worship. Service is important. Martha served wherever, whenever Jesus would go to Bethany, that home, Martha would serve. There are times when she was over enthusiastic about her service. Nevertheless, she served, and she served faithfully. And we are called upon to be of service to our Lord, because he is our master and he has called us by his grace to serve him. It says in John chapter 12 verse 26, "If any man serve me, let him follow me." Writer to the Hebrews, I'm going to say the writer to the Hebrews, because if I say Paul, I want to offend you, because not everyone believes that. So I'm going to say the writer to the Hebrews in chapter 12, he says, "We have received the kingdom that cannot be moved." Chapter 12, verse 28. "Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and with godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." We don't serve anyhow. We don't serve him haphazardly. We serve him reverently. We serve him faithfully. And we serve him and him alone. When he was in the desert and Satan tempted him, Satan asked him to bow down to him, to worship him. And the Lord Jesus responded, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." They made him a supper in Bethany, and Martha served. She served him. Who are we serving today? Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. The Lord already said to Satan, "Him only shalt thou serve, the Lord God, him only shalt thou serve." Jesus, when he was here on earth, said, "No man can serve two masters. You would love one and hate the other. You would cling to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve God and money. If money is your God, then you are an idolater. You cannot serve God and money." Peter was a servant, a servant of the Lord. And the Lord had given him specific instructions of his service. Before he left the scene, and he told Peter, if you love me, if you love me, you tend my lambs. If you love me, you feed my sheep. Peter committed this, and he was active in this service, and he told the church also their responsibility, especially those on the oversight, those who were elders. In 1 Peter 5, he said, feed the flock of God. Do it willingly. Do it without charge, not for filthy lucre, not by constraint. Don't let anyone have to twist your arm to do this. Be faithful, as Paul writes to the Corinthians. He says, it is required in stewards, servants, that a man be found faithful. Service required faithfulness. And so when Joshua was ready to leave, when he was ready to leave the people after having accomplished the will of God, taking them into the land and dividing the land to the tribes, he said, now my work is over. And he recounted to the people of Israel all that the Lord had done to them from the call of Abraham, even to bringing them into the land. He says, all the Lord has done for you, now this is your turn. If it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, therefore choose you this day whom you will serve. The gods which your father served on the other side of the river, the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Martha served. They made him a supper. Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Lazarus had communion. Lazarus had fellowship with the Lord. That's important for Christians as well. Not only to serve, but to take time and to sit at the feet of Jesus and to hear his word. Fellowship is important. It means to have things in common, sharing together, participation, partnership. That's what the early church did. Read the account at Pentecost. They that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto the church. 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What are we doing here teaching? Fellowship, communion, breaking of bread. We did that this morning in prayers. We're going to do that Wednesday evening. It's important to have communion and fellowship. When what we did this morning, we partook of the bread and the wine. It is the communion of the body. It is fellowship in the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are participating in sufferings, in his body and in his blood, sharing. Christian activity. Not only service, but also communion, having fellowship. Not only Lazarus had fellowship, but at one time when Jesus went to Bethany, it was Mary who was having fellowship. She was sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing his word there in Luke chapter 10 when Martha complained. The Lord Jesus wants to have fellowship with his saints. But there are times when we don't make time for him. We are too so busy. And he wants to have fellowship with us like that church in Laodicea. He was outside. They had no time for him. They were rich. They had need of nothing, they said. And here's the Lord Jesus outside, wanting communion, wanting fellowship. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Man, hear my voice, will open the door. I will come into him and will sup with him. That's communion. I will sup with him and he with me. Fellowship. There's nothing like it, beloved, when you're in fellowship with the Lord. Having communion with him. That's what David missed most when he sinned against the Lord. And he said, I couldn't sleep. I could even, my tears dried up. I was so lonely. Then he prayed to the Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He wanted to be in communion and fellowship with the Lord again because he missed it. You see, sin, beloved, affects fellowship. It doesn't affect relationship. It affects fellowship. That's why the poor prodigal, when he was out there, he said, here am I suffering, and my father has so much. I'm here suffering, and my father has so much. I'm going to go home. I'm going to apply for a job. I'm going to tell him, I want to be a servant. No, you can't be a servant. You're a son. Because sin affects fellowship, not relationship. He said, make me a servant. But the father said, this is my son. This is my son. He was dead. He was away from us. He was dead, and now he's alive again. He was lost. And he is found. Let's kill the fatted calf and make merry because he's home again. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. This fellowship is real, beloved. It's real. It's not just talking. Now, John the Apostle, and he knew the Lord so intimately. He was so close to the Lord. And he writes in his epistle, if we say we have fellowship with him, we walk in darkness. We are lying. Don't lie. If you want to have fellowship with him, first of all, there is confession. There's judging sin in the life. We sin. We must judge sin, beloved. He said, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Remember, sin affects our fellowship with the Lord. When Lazarus was dead, he couldn't have fellowship. But when the Lord restored him to life, he was sitting at the table with the Lord. Then there's Mary. It's Mary. I should have spent the whole time with Mary because I love Mary. And let me just get on with it, right? Mary. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus. Wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. That's worship. Giving to the Lord. And what this reminds us of, beloved, that worship is costly. Worship is not cheap. The very first instance of worship we had brought to our attention this morning was with Abraham and Isaac, the very first mention in the Bible of worship. Abraham said, I am the lad, will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Worship involved giving, and he was going to give what his best, his only son, the son whom he loved. worship involve giving. Some people think, well, we just show up, we went to worship. No, you got to do more than that. You got to bring something. You got to give God something. Worship costs. Her offering was costly. It's the equivalent of a man's wages in those days for a year. 300 denarii. And when she worshipped, the room was filled with the odor of the ointment. Does anybody notice when you worship? Does it affect anybody? Is the Lord glorified? Is his name glorified? Because worship is about offering to the Lord. You know, when they offer the sweet savor offering, it wafted up to the nostrils of God, the burnt offering, among others. The same fire that licked up and destroyed the sin offering, it just extracted the odor of the burnt offering, but wafted up to God as a sweet-smelling savor. The house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Offering cost. We are called upon to offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Worship costs. Bring an offering. And David, in order to avoid that, the plague that was plaguing the people after he had sinned, he went to Arun and he says, I'm going to have to offer a burnt offering to the Lord. And Arun says, you can have it all. I'll give it to you. Take the threshing floor, take the threshing instruments, have everything and offer it to the Lord. It's yours. You can take it. David said, no, I'm going to take it at a price. I'm going to pay for it. Because I will not offer burnt offerings unto the Lord of that which doth cost me nothing. Offer worship costs. Really, they just like to come and sit and don't pay anything. Don't prepare. Don't spend an hour before. Don't spend time. It doesn't cost us anything. Worship costs, beloved. When Saul and his servant had lost their donkeys and they were looking for it, they were going to find it and they were going to hear about the man of God, Samuel. And they're going up to look to find Samuel because Samuel was going to give them an answer. Samuel always had an answer. And they said, when they were going, Saul said to the servant, what shall we bring the man? We can't go empty-handed. What shall we bring the man? We have used up everything we had. What shall we bring the man? And we come here and we haven't brought the man anything. We come empty-handed and we sing, nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. That's not for worship. That's for salvation. And they come to worship. Bring an offering. Bring an offering. Bring something for the man. Bring him an offering. And offer to him that the sacrifice, the odor, might fill the room. Others might be affected by the worship that we bring. Saul said to those poor Christians at Philippi, he says, not that I desire a gift from you, not that I want anything, but I want the fruit that remains. And your offering was precious, because when I received it, it was an offering, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. When you give God something, it's acceptable and well-pleasing to God. What did you bring the man today? Did they bring him anything? Or he just came empty handed? The Lord says, don't come empty. Do not appear before me empty. Bring an offering. Don't be like Judas. When people are making the offering, oh, what a waste. What a waste. Worship is never a waste, beloved. Never a waste. Worship is always precious because we're expressing the worth of our Lord. We are acknowledging him for who he is and what he has done. We are giving him the praise and the glory that's due to his name. Sorry I have to cut Mary short. She's my favorite. But I'm going to stop because the clock says it's time to stop. It's good to be with you, beloved. I hope you'll join us at 11 o'clock. Then I'll get to my assigned passage. I hope we can encourage each other in the things of the Lord. Bring an offering to the Lord. Worship. Service. Communion. And worship. God bless his word. Father in heaven, we thank thee for bringing us together. We thank thee for giving us thy word. We thank thee for the truth of thy word. We thank thee that each believer, we can serve thee. Give us grace, whereby we may serve thee acceptably with reverence and with godly fear. Give us grace to be in fellowship and communion with thee, walking in the light as thou art in the light. Give us grace to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, and to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Accept the praise and the thanksgiving that we offer to thee as we ask thy help and blessing in parting. Be with us and guide us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.